Good evening. Sid, thank you. That was a great presentation on this topic. I want to say, although Julia was kind enough to introduce me as the being the mayor of Carrboro, I'm not really here with that hat on. I'm really here as a resident of the Triangle area, as a citizen of the state of North Carolina, and as a person who's concerned about the way that we use our natural resources in North Carolina. So I want to state that clearly to begin with. And I also want to say that, I think the heading of this forum about the wisdom of the ways in which Durham is growing poses some interesting questions, and there are certainly questions that I'm not interested in trying to answer for you, because I probably don't really honestly know enough about the way that Durham as a community is growing to really comment on it. But I do want to talk a little bit about our water supply issues in the Triangle and in North Carolina in general. And I want to address in particular some of the issues that Sid was finishing up on, the question of how we might use Jordan Lake in the future as a water supply for various communities in the Triangle. I think the first thing I want to do is say that I don't believe that the present water supply problem in the Triangle can really be solved by increasing our access to Jordan Lake. Although Sid's quite right in saying that Jordan Lake is underutilized in the sense that it could provide a tremendous amount more water to our local water utilities in the Triangle, the fact is that the main problem that we have in the Triangle is not a water supply problem, but rather a water consumption problem. The more that we grow and the faster that we grow as a region, the greater the demand is on our reservoirs. And in particular, suburban growth encourages an especially intense form of water consumption. Sort of the point that Sid was, one of the points that Sid was getting at earlier. By contrast, apartments, condominiums, offices, retail developments typically consume considerably less water than large lot, single family detached housing does. And I guess the point that I'm trying to get to is that tapping into additional reservoirs without controlling the consumption of water simply results in more of the same kind of development, and eventually more of the same kind of water shortage. In other words, if we don't change the way that we're growing, how will increasing the water supply really help? Sooner or later, our region will also be pushing the limits of the water that even Jordan Lake can supply. And it's worth realizing that Jordan Lake, the planning for Jordan Lake began, I believe, in the 1940s, and that Jordan Lake was not completed until, the dam was not completed until about 1981, so that we spent about 40 years developing Jordan Lake, building Jordan Lake. And that was in a much less strict regulatory environment than we live in now. My point being that the amount of time and planning that would be required in order to build something, another reservoir like Jordan Lake, would be truly phenomenal. And in fact, I want to go beyond that and just say, and I also think it would be disastrous to do it. I hope that we never will build another lake like Jordan Lake in North Carolina. There were hundreds of farms that were flooded, people who lost their land, many people who lost their land forcibly in the creation of Jordan Lake. And we also lost a tremendous amount of wildlife habitat and natural areas, forests, and frankly, farmland for producing local agricultural products when Jordan Lake was created. I don't mean to really criticize Jordan Lake, because that's a fait accompli, but I guess my point is that there's nowhere to build another Jordan Lake. There's nowhere to build another reservoir that doesn't have all those kinds of impacts over again. In the 1930s and 40s, when the federal government and the state government in North Carolina were planning for large new reservoirs to be built. They imagined three different locations for new reservoirs in the Piedmont of North Carolina. One of them is essentially Jordan Lake. Another one is essentially the what is now called the Randleman Lake or Randleman Dam Lake on the Deep River. And there is one more site, so-called Howard's Mill site on the Deep River. And just for example, one of the few remaining areas, natural habitat areas for a fish called the Cape Fear Shiner, is right throughout the area of the Deep River where the Howard's Mill site is. We can't build another reservoir the size of those two, and even if we were interested in doing it, it would take a very long time. Granted, there's a lot of water still to be tapped in Jordan Lake, and Sid could probably tell us throw some of the figures out there in terms of the amount. I think right now the eastern intake on Jordan Lake is really basically pulling only something like 40% or so of all the water that could be pulled out of Jordan Lake, which means that Jordan Lake does represent a huge opportunity to supply additional water to our communities in the Triangle area. But my question is this. If we're just going to, as I sort of stated it earlier, if we're just going to use that water in the same way that we've used all the other water that we've already blown our way through, then what is really the point? Because all we will do is ensure that, yes, we can continue to grow this way for another 20 years or 15 years or whatever period of time, but at the end of that time, we'll be back in this room having this conversation with even less hair on our heads and still facing the same basically decisions. So my question is, can't we before we even go to Jordan Lake, before we even talk about developing a western intake on Jordan Lake, begin to adopt now the strategies that we're going to need as a region to ensure that we don't have to build another Jordan Lake ever, that the remaining water supply that may be out there in Jordan Lake can last us 100 years or more into the future, as long a period as we can possibly model and foresee. The solution to our water supply problems cannot lie in the direction of an ever-increasing number of reservoirs. Instead, in my opinion, the solution lies with increasing the efficiency of our region's use of its existing water supplies, conserving the water that we currently have, and requiring that growth in the Triangle be focused on replacing water-intensive uses with water-efficient ones. That strategy also has a number of other benefits, potentially, if we do it well, for the quality of our water by reducing the amount of impervious surface that we're building, reducing the amount of runoff pollution that we're putting into our streams, reducing the number of miles that we need to drive to get from home to work, to the store, to entertainment, reducing the amount of pollution that we're putting into our atmosphere. None of what I'm saying means that the Triangle should fail to look to Jordan Lake as a solution to our present issues. But it does mean that the region should look first at the existing water supplies with a new question in mind. How can we change our behavior so that our current reservoirs will meet our needs? Sid has touched in one of his slides on a number of very practical possibilities, a number of practical opportunities, and I think some of them are, I know that at least some of them are being explored and implemented in Durham, but I think that it's clear to me that all of our communities, Carrboro included, could go much further to advocate for these things. We could have requirements that new developments, the landscaping in new developments, be so-called xeriscaping, that is, say, landscaping that's oriented toward minimal usage of water. that involves, for example, among other things, native plants, which are not non-exotic species that require less water to begin with. We could, there's at least one governmental entity in the Triangle area, the University of North Carolina, that is very very strongly moving and seriously investing in the kind of reclaimed water technology that Sid was talking about earlier. UNC has plans to they've actually built this plant, and they are in the process of using developing a system under which all of their water that's used for landscaping will be highly treated wastewater coming from the wastewater treatment plant in Chapel Hill. We could, and I know probably many of you in this room, like me, have done this in our own local scale, in our own homes, to develop, to put in place rain barrels to collect rain that's coming off of our roof to try and use to water the landscaping that we're around our houses that we're trying to preserve. That could be, instead of something that we're doing individually in a piecemeal way, it could be something that we are, as a region, making a very concerted effort to do. We could be imposing, I've always called it, the term I learned for it was inverted block pricing. That is to say, it's the opposite of a volume discount. It's a volume premium. The more water you use, the more you pay per unit of water that you're using. We could be implementing probably a long list of other things that aren't coming to my mind right now in terms of policies that would encourage permanent changes in our behavior. Not temporary changes during a drought, but permanent changes in the way that we approach, access water, the way that we expect as a society to use water. I don't think anybody's anywhere near having achieved perfection in doing these things, but the fact is that the opportunities are out there and they're very large. And to me, it does not make sense for us to be looking at investing millions and millions of dollars in developing a western intake on Jordan Lake with a plan to pipe that water here without first engaging ourselves, our communities, our local governments, our institutions, UNC, Duke, NC State, whoever it might be, out there in the process of saying, How do we make a more intelligent use of our of the water that we have now, and then say, okay, once we've done that, once we've made some structural changes in the way we're using water now, then say, okay, now let's add to the supply, because there may be something beyond our present supply that will be needed as our community continues to grow. That's what I'm sort of advocating for. I have a bunch of comments on some other random topics that Sid touched on. I bet I'll have some others on things that Bill's going to talk about in a few minutes. But I'll, for right now, pass the mic over to Bill.